My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, the Middle East expert, a terrorist expert, an accomplished author, a lecturer at National Defense University, a Fox News contributor, and now a foreign policy advisor to Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. We'll get to that news a little bit later, but we also want to get his evaluation here as we start to get a few more answers following Tuesday's horrific terrorist attack in Brussels, Belgium. And Dr. Faris, always good to have you with us, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today.
We know some answers. We know about the brothers who are responsible for the bombs that went off. We think we know who the person is that was the third person in that photo at the airport. What do you make of the investigation so far, and what the authorities are uncovering?
Well, look, what I call the tactical investigations, meaning anybody who has anything to do with the perpetrators of the strikes in Brussels at the airport, and also at the metro station, and in Paris, everybody who has anything to do, they're going to get to them. They're going to get to them, and then we're going to get a lot of information. My worry is not about the tactical investigation. It is really about the strategic investigation with regard who planted that cell initially, what kind of communications this cell has with ISIS, meaning the metropolitan ISIS back in Iraq and in Syria, and the possibility of other networks, similar networks, not just in Belgium and France, but also in the rest of the continent. That's where my thinking is right now.
A lot of people see a lot of activity going on right now. We saw this after the Paris attacks as well, both in France and in Belgium at the time. We hear a lot about raids going on. Some see this and say, well, they've got a trail here. They're like a bloodhound, and they're going to follow this trail until we get who's responsible for this. Others see it as just a random, let's go after the usual suspects here, and it might not be as organized as they would have us believe. What's your evaluation?
I think it's a combo of both. I think they have lists, and they realize that some of the people who were on their lists actually came out as members of that network. So that they're going to go after that. They have to do it by the book. But what they're doing as well is to use the information from the interrogation, use the information that they have collected in those last raids, and use the information they have gotten from the evidence of the scenes, both at the airport and in the metro station, to conduct new lines of research.
Given the news from late last week, the major arrest of the figure in connection with the Paris attack, a lot of people figure that Belgian authorities should have been on top enough of ISIS plots in Belgium to have stopped this. Is that a fair criticism, or is it very hard to find every single plot going on?
Most of the criticism, of this kind of criticism, comes from quarters who really do not understand how jihadism operates. It's as if this was an operation by the mafia or, you know, Soviet intelligence networks. The failure has been in the West, not from the tactical investigations. And by the way, in a war on terror, in a war with the terrorists, there are times where the terrorists are going to win. And there are many times where they aren't. Look at the United States. We've stopped dozens and dozens of operations. There were five violent ones over the past 11 years. So to be fair, yes, they could have done probably a little bit more on the technological level, but the real battle has been and will be always how to dismount, how to disconnect the radicalization and indoctrination networks, because this is the factory. We're doing everything except that.
When you look at Paris, when you look at Brussels, you look at recent terrorist attacks in Turkey as well, how widespread, how entrenched is the threat, specifically in Europe, but in the West in general?
It is very deep at this point in time. I see them, you remember, after 9/11, when the Homeland Security put colors between yellow and orange and red. In Europe, it's already orange. And, of course, in the Middle East, it's red. If you look at Turkey, if you look at Egypt, if you look at Libya, that is the red zone where the jihadists control areas or have a very high level of penetration. If you go to Europe, then you will see, as we saw in Brussels, that there are enclaves around those cities, in Paris, in Brussels, in London, and it used to be also in other cities such as Madrid, where you have a high level of penetration. And then, of course, you have countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia, where the level is not as high, but it is growing.
We're talking with the Dr. Waleed Faris, Middle East expert, terrorism expert, advisor to the Congress on the Middle East and terrorism, lecturer at National Defense University, and as I mentioned, now a foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump. And, sir, Mr. Trump's reaction on Tuesday was essentially that we've got to be much more careful about who we're letting in the country. How important of a priority do you believe that needs to be, and how specifically should that be arranged?
Trump is basically reflecting a concern that exists among the base, among the constituencies. And we saw that it's not just the followers of Mr. Trump or the voters, but it's a majority among the American public. They are concerned. The more they see of these attacks, specifically since Chattanooga and California's attacks, the more there will be a pressure by the public for the leaders, in this case, the candidates, to say something and do something about it or commit that if they will get to the White House, they will look at it very strategically, not like the current administration. So Mr. Trump is saying, we need to look at what's happening. And he says, quote, we don't know what's happening. So now the answer to that is that his administration, his task forces that he will be forming, will have to answer one question in cooperation with Congress, of course. How do we vet? The real answer to all that questioning about the jihadists is, how do we vet them?
And what's the best way to do it?
Well, you have to create the proper institution that is concentrating on the vetting, meaning, number one, determine what is that ideology, who is circulating the ideology, who is actually creating those madrasas, meaning ideological schools, online, offline. Start to work a little bit deeper than just the tactical investigation. It's a whole change of policy. The problem is that the Obama administration and maybe a Clinton administration won't be inclined to do so. They have been always remote from dealing anything that has to do with the jihadi ideology.
Dr. Faris, as you well know, obviously, reports this week listed you among a handful of key foreign policy advisors to Mr. Trump. What made you decide to come on board his team?
Well, to tell you the truth, and quickly, I have offered my briefings, as I did, and as you know, in the last cycle of elections to Governor Mitt Romney. He then, you know, approached me, and I accepted to be part of his board. This cycle, I offered my briefings to at least five Republican candidates and have been engaging with them throughout 2015 and early 2016. Now, when the field narrowed, Mr. Trump approached me and then said that he would be, you know, happy to have me among his advisors, and the other advisors are also excellent advisors. So I accepted, focusing specifically on the issue of national security threats and on the war of ideas.
Donald Trump, as you well know, has gotten a lot of support from the base for a number of reasons, border security and his vow to go after ISIS, certainly among them. He's been criticized, as you know, for being more general than specific on some issues. How would you sum up his general philosophy to national security?
I get a lot of this question, of these questions. The major issue to understand is that Mr. Trump is coming from a different field than the other public policy politicians. He's a very successful businessman. He is arriving to the scene with that huge experience in terms of economics and finances and deals and what have you. He is now in the process of forming his strategic thinking with the help of readings, of course, and with the help, as he just mentioned, he observes a lot, but with the task forces he is going to be establishing. So I think that Mr. Trump now, reflecting the concerns of the public, is going to be working very closely with task forces, with advisors, and getting ready to a much higher calling if he wins in November.
So do you expect more detailed policy positions coming soon then, as he studies up these issues and consults with folks like you?
Well, the campaign is working hard on organizing the various fields of advisors, first on the regional level and, of course, in the various areas of strategic concern, should they be economic, political, or other. But I think that really the major activity is going to come hopefully after nomination.
Well, and that could be a simple process or a very, very involved process, depending on how the rest of the primary schedule works out. Dr. Faris, thanks for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Waleed Faris is a terrorism expert, Middle East expert, lecturer at National Defense University, advisor to the U.S. Congress on the Middle East and terrorism. He is an author, and he is a Fox News contributor, and he is now a foreign policy advisor to Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.